Yes, yes, he is. He is wonderful. Yes. And you got to know it for yourself. Yeah. It's all right. Amen. We thank this choir for leading us in this worship expression. Amen. It's all right. I want to share with you this morning out of Acts chapter 5. And I want to look at verses 12 through 16. It was part of your responsive reading this morning. Acts chapter 5, I'm going to look at 12 through 16, and I won't keep you long this morning. I want to read these scripture in your hearing. Acts 5, 12 through 16, and from the NIV, God's word speak to us in this way. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the street and lay them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow may fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Amen. Amen. I just want to preach from the text today. What drew you to the church? What drew you to the church on this day? What drew you to the church? If you would, just turn to your neighbor and ask him, what brought you here? Amen. I wonder if anybody was brave enough to answer your question. Everyone doesn't come to church for the same reason, nor do they come to church for the right reason. In fact, I can remember growing up in the church and the excitement I felt when it was time to go to church, not so much because I wanted to draw closer to God or learn more about Jesus, but rather I couldn't wait to see my friends. For me, church was more like a social club where I was able to see my friends and socialize and even sometimes meet new people. It was a place where I was somebody, and I was appreciated here if I wasn't appreciated anywhere else. It was a nurturing place where I was able to explore my talents and even utilize some of my gifts. Well, I know I'm not the only one who ever wanted to come to church one time or another for less than pure motives. Some come because they're looking for that special someone in their life, and you think you're going to find them in the church. Amen. Some come because they hold a position in the church and they're expected to be here. Some come because they're made to come. Some come out of guilt, and some come because they're in need of a blessing. Well, you might have come for a number of reasons, but you can't keep playing around the water hole and not think you're going to get wet sooner or later. God has you here as a divine appointment. That means you may be here for one reason, but God has you here for his purpose. And if you walk in his purpose, you'll find that you won't just come to this place of worship so that you can have some external need met or to satisfy some internal stimuli, but you'll come to his house for the sole purpose to get closer to him and his people. Well, you may ask, what difference does it make if other people are here? I just want to see Jesus. Well, you can't fully see Jesus by yourself because the Bible said that that what preceded signs and wonders was the people praying together and being on one accord. There's something that takes place when believers get together touching and agreeing that doesn't happen when we're apart. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't visit us when we find ourselves by ourselves. It doesn't mean that God only hears and answers prayers shared in the household of faith. But the truth of the matter is, there is power and support in numbers that we can't experience apart from one another. Amen. Therefore, brothers and sisters, if you want to experience God in a new and fresh way, if you want to be a blessing just as much as you want a blessing, if you want to draw closer to the Lord and see signs and wonders in your lives of others, and therefore be able to recognize them working in your own life, then don't neglect the fellowship of the saints, because God is still in the blessing business. Come what may, God is blessing you. Through it all, God is still blessing you. Trouble is bound to come, but God blesses even in the midst of trouble. Do you see his mighty hand working in your life? Be grateful for God's mighty bountiful blessings right now, because it could be worse, and for somebody else it is. But brothers and sisters, I know the popular mantra is true, come as you are. I know you may be here for one reason and God have you here for another reason, but you still can't come to God any old kind of way. And I found out that even honest and sincere people may not come into the place of worship with other believers out of what they perceive to be respect for God and his things. They know all too well that they're not right, and they know better than anybody else that they've fallen short. Therefore, they have at least two problems. One, some of them don't want to come, don't want to be better, so there's no reason for them to even join the fellowship. They're not open to conforming to the Christian lifestyle or even taking on the Christian worldview. But they don't mind benefiting from being around the fellowship. They just don't want to be a part of the fellowship. That's the first problem. The second problem is some of them want to get closer to the Lord, but they just don't know how. And fear keeps them away. They think if they come into this place with these people, that God will reject them, or at least these people will. In this instance, there's nothing wrong with coming as you are. But if you come, don't be content with staying as you are. Amen. Nobody will reject you if you come, but they may begin to work on you when you get here. And if you come to the Lord, you're already saying the way that I am isn't the way that I need to be. So if you come, be prepared to be something different when you leave. And don't walk away and say, those people are judgmental and they wouldn't receive me. Come as you are, but be prepared to change once you get here. So, what brought you here today? What are you looking for? Even in the early church, just as it was in Jesus' ministry, people came to Christ and to the church for a number of reasons. But they all came for something. In our text, the apostles, they were legitimizing their ministry by performing signs and wonders among the people. You have to understand that these signs and wonders were oftentimes in the form of a miracle. And a miracle is something that is believed to be impossible, or at least far out of the realm of reality, that it's highly improbable. But you have to understand why the writer didn't just say that they were performing miracles. No, he was much more descriptive than that. They performed signs and wonders. You see, the miracle was a sign, and a sign is something that points you in the right direction. And when the apostles did something miraculous, they also pointed out that it was done under the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, who the Jews conspired against and the Greeks executed, but God justified by raising him from the dead, and they were witnesses to that resurrection. They didn't claim power of themselves, but through the miracle of the resurrection of the Savior. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today that miracles still happen even today. And they still point to the identity of the resurrection of the Savior. And when you witness a miracle and you become aware that only through the power of God's Holy Spirit was the impossible made possible, then you'll be in wonder and amazement. Have you ever experienced the Lord do the impossible in your life, and after God did only what God can do, didn't it leave you in wonder and amazement? Well, brothers and sisters, God is still in the miracle-making business, but so often we're so focused on seeing God work miracles by overriding the natural law, and surely God does and is still able, but then we miss out how God is moving in our lives daily. The Bible repeats that the people were of one accord, and brothers and sisters, in a world that's set up to keep us apart and at each other's throat, to see unity in the name of Jesus is a miracle. Only in the church do you find so much difference, and yet the capacity for all of us to move in the same direction. You have men and you have women in the church. You can find descendants of slave owners and the descendants of slaves working together in the church. You find rich and poor in the church. Republicans, Democrats, and Republicans all in the church. You find militants as well as pacifists in the church. You can find every reason in the world for us not to be together, but the miraculous thing of God is that if Jesus draws us together, then Jesus can keep us together, come what may. And brothers and sisters, this year is a year of miracle for this church, because we stayed together under the power of the Holy Spirit for 100 years. Through financial stress, we stayed together. Through death and disagreement, we stayed together. Through the changing community around us, we still stay together. And as long as we stay focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, then there's nothing that can come against God's church. In fact, he says not even the gates of hell shall prevail against us. It's a miracle that we can stay together when there's so much stuff trying to pull us apart. But Jesus is the glue that holds everything together. The Bible says it's the cornerstone that the builders rejected, but it fits anywhere. Jesus says, I am that great I am that's in the Old Testament. Whatever you need me to be, I can be that for you if you trust me. It all started with the birth of Jesus, grew to 12 disciples, that grew to 120 more, and now has spread throughout the whole world. That, my brothers and sisters, is nothing short of a miracle that still causes men and women to wonder in amazement. Brothers and sisters, the text points out that the apostles performed signs and wonders among the people. You see, not only did these signs and wonders point to Jesus, but they also affirmed the apostles' role in the ministry. You see, if God has something for you to do, God would also affirm your calling. And one way he'll affirm you is that you'll be able to do what God has called you to do. Jesus told his disciples that you will be my witnesses. And through these signs and wonders, the apostles are fulfilling the declaration of Jesus. God will affirm you just as he revealed his son in the world. They did signs and wonders among the people. And after being released from prison, the preaching for the preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Peter and John, they went back to the local church and they told them all that happened. And then all the believers raised their voice together and prayed, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. And the Lord gave them what they prayed for. Your brothers and sisters, what brought you here today? For the Bible says, if you seek, you shall find. If you knock, the door will be open. If you ask, you shall receive. The Bible says, if you delight your ways in the Lord, he'll give you the desire of your heart. But you have to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. What drew you here today? Well, you have your plans. But Proverbs says, the heart of a man, the man's plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. God has his plans for you. Walk in his way. But then it says that all the believers met in Solomon's portico. It was at Solomon's portico that Peter and John preached to the people the resurrection of Jesus Christ after they healed the man at the gate called Beautiful. It was at Solomon's portico that Peter and John were arrested for preaching and teaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Solomon's portico became ground zero for the believers and even for the non-believers of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And the apostles, they performed miracles and signs and wonders among the people. That wasn't done behind closed doors or just among the selected few of people around. After you come here, you need to be ready for the Lord to send you back out there. But this time, it won't be to do what you used to do. It'll be so that you can witness for him. And the local church today is still a constant reminder of God's presence in the world. It's a reminder of that time you were in trouble and God delivered you from your situation. But it's not just a reminder for believers, but it's a reminder for those who don't believe as well. It's a reminder that there is a better way to live. It's a reminder that God is real. It's a reminder that we're more than conquerors through him who loves us. And sometimes we all need to be reminded of what God has brought us through. You got to be reminded how you prayed to the Lord and your sickness turned to health. You got to remember how you couldn't pay your bills, but the Lord made a way out of no way. You got to be reminded that when you didn't have a friend, the Lord sent somebody to check in on you. You got to be reminded that when you was wrong, the Lord gave you a little grace and mercy so that when somebody wrongs you, you won't end up holding a grudge. Sometimes you just got to be reminded, and the church should be that beacon light in the community to remind folk that they're a sinner that need to be saved by a risen Savior, and you can't do it by yourself. But if you knock on this door, I may not be able to pay your bills, I may not be able to give you the medicine you need, I may not be able to give you any law advice, but I can tell you about a man who can make a way out of no way in spite of yourself. He'll even fix it when you are wrong and you're dead wrong. If you can repent, the Lord can take care of you. He's the only one that can take a wrong and make everything all right. I know I'm right about it. But here in our text, we find something that confuses me. It says that no one dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. You see, there were a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira who tried to lie to the apostles and to the Holy Spirit by volunteering to sell a piece of property and then giving part of the proceeds to the apostles so they could contribute it as they saw fit. Now, there was nothing wrong with this common practice, except that Ananias and Sapphira were not honest about what they did and led everyone to believe that they gave the whole proceeds, but rather they kept some back for themselves. There was nothing wrong with them selling and keeping some, but there was something wrong with them trying to make people think they did more than what they really did. And because of this deception, both Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead on the spot when Peter confronted them. And the Bible said that great fear seized all who heard what happened. You see, some people didn't want to come to the church. They didn't want to join the church because they knew the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and they were fearful that what happened to them could be their fate as well. You remember the day when the church was in session and worship was high, and there may be some who didn't go to church, but they respected the church and would drive by playing their music all loud and blasting. But when they got to the church, they would lower the volume out of respect. They even had enough sense to know that even though you aren't a member of that church, you can't treat God's things any old kind of way, because God just may cause some trouble to fall on you because of your ignorance toward them. Even the non-believers had a level of respect for the church, even if they wasn't getting ready to join the church. The psalmist asked the question, Psalms 24:3-6, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generations of those who seek him, who seek the face of God, the God of Jacob. What brought you here today? Well, if you come to the Lord with a sincere heart, ready to put him first, you can approach his throne with grace, with boldness. And the Bible says that nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. And the result was that people brought their sick and laid them in the streets so that Peter's shadow could pass over them. And other people from the surrounding towns of Jerusalem brought their sick and demon-possessed as well. And the Bible said that all of them were healed. This is the result of a unified church. And I believe that the text is confessing today that everyone didn't come to the church just to be closer to Jesus, but they were looking for some relief. And they heard that where others failed, God never fails. And so they came to the church. And some of you may be here today because you're looking for something. You're looking for some relief from your troubles of this world. You found out that you couldn't find it at the end of a bottle. You found out that relief didn't come in the form of a man or in the shape of a woman. You found out that the party crowd couldn't give you the relief that you desired, but you heard about a place where people meet and God shows up and lives are changed. Then if you reason and you reason, if I could just get in the place, maybe I could get some relief that I seek. You seek after the blessing, but God wants to give you more than relief. He wants to introduce you to the Son who goes beyond just giving you belief, but he gives you peace that goes beyond all understanding. What drew you to church today? Well, it may be one thing, but God has something else in store for you. He wants to bless you with signs and wonders in your life that point to him and blow your mind up. He wants to increase your faith. What brings you to church today? Well, Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And when he said it, he talked about the kind of death that he'll die. He'll have to die on the cross of crucifixion. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Sometimes you got to kill some stuff off in order to see the Lord who wants to draw you closer. But what I really like about the Lord, if you can't say no to the world, but you really seek it
after the Lord, the Lord has set you up that the world will begin to say no to you, slam doors in your face, shut windows where you can't get around, put obstacles on your right, put obstacles on your left, and sometimes you don't know that the Lord is all that you need until the Lord is all that you got. The Lord loves you so much that he'll say no to you sometimes to give you the true desire of your heart. What brought you in here today? And some of you really don't know what brought you in here. Some of you don't even know what you need to pray for. But the Lord knows you better than you know yourself. He'll give you exactly what you need and loves you so much he'll give you some of what you want. Thank the Lord when he says no sometimes, because he just may be trying to set you up for a blessing. And only the Lord can take a bad situation and then begin to do signs and wonders in the middle of it. And you began to ask yourself the question, was that the Lord? Was that the Lord? Only the Lord could have calmed that mess. And only the Lord could have shut that door. Only the Lord could have made that way. Only the Lord could have said yes when everybody else said no. Was that the Lord? The Lord is still performing signs and wonders in your life. He said no, they said no, but Jesus said yes. He can do it if you trust him. He's doing it even when you don't. You may not have the privilege of seeing it, but if you trust him, the Lord just may open up your eyes. What brought you here today? There may be a what, but the who is what draws you. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The what might have brought you, but the who is what you need. Jesus is calling to you today. The question is, how will you respond? We open up the doors of the church that you may receive this Jesus Christ in your life. For he makes all of the difference in the world. Don't get caught up by what people may do, good or bad, because it's Jesus that is the author and finisher of our faith. In the Old Testament, you saw that it was God that did both good and evil in the sight of people. And when trouble befell on them like a mighty earthquake, they didn't ask the Lord, why did the devil do it? They prayed to the Lord to give me some relief, because God has all power in his hands. The one that you're mad at is the one that can give you your relief. The one that allowed it to happen is the one that can fix it after it happened. Why don't you trust Jesus today? You here for one thing, but the Lord brought you here for another. Let us stand together as the choir leads us in this song. This is your invitation. Jesus is calling to you. How will you respond? Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus. Just now. Just now.
He's calling you. He's calling you.
Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus. Yes. There's still time.
Just
amen.
Now.
Yes. Is there another? Is there another? There's still time.
You.
There's still room.
He can save. Yeah.